Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello, one and beautiful Tuesday, and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California and 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas. I'm joined, as always, by G. Hay, Wiley, Armani, Buckets, and Brandon Deutsch. G. Hay is joining us via Bluetooth, not feeling that well, but she's okay. But she's joining us via Bluetooth, but we have a lot to get into. So with that said, let's get to today's headlines. All right, Steph Curry converted 8 free throws over the final 45.7 seconds on the way to a 32-point performance. Man, what an amazing game for him as the Golden State Warriors down the stretch defeated the Memphis Grizzlies 101-98 on Monday night, and they've now taken a 3-1 series lead in the Western Conference semifinals. The Warriors guys are now one win away from returning to the Western Conference Finals. Is this series done?
I think this series is done, but that was a really ugly win by Golden State. Both teams look like trash, honestly. The Grizzlies could not hit a shot down the stretch. The Warriors were turning the ball over and started the game, I think, 0 for 15 from the three-point line. The only concerning thing for me with Golden State is the inconsistency of Klay Thompson. Klay cannot be inconsistent for them to win the title. It seems like one night he'll have a great game. The very next night he does what he did last night. He was 0 for 7 from the three-point line. They need Klay to be consistent, but I still think that they just showed up expecting to win yesterday, so I'm not going to take much stock into how ugly it was. I think that they just expected to win. They didn't really give a full effort.
And we talked about this yesterday. We knew Memphis was going to cover. They were going to come out backs against the wall, no Ja Morant. And the Warriors, they have 102 defensive rating when Draymond is on the court, which would have led the league if he was healthy all year. They showed that last game, last couple games. Memphis's defense was back. Ja is obviously a liability on defense, although they needed him in that stretch in the fourth quarter where they needed to win. Yeah. Why was Jaren Jackson shooting that last shot? He was 0 for 7 from 3. Steph Curry, it's amazing he even had 32 points, being 4 for 14 from three-point range. He needs to shoot better, too. Yeah. Klay obviously needs to shoot better. Those are some great points, Armand. This series is virtually over. There have been inside rumblings that Ja probably is out for the season.
That's going to be tough.
Yeah. You know, maybe, and it kind of reminds me of the Kawhi Leonard situation last year where they wouldn't speak on it, and he might have a torn MCL, ACL. We just don't know. So hoping that he's okay, but Memphis is playing for next year. This season is virtually over. I mean, this series is virtually over.
The highlight for me, I don't know if you guys saw this clip, and I love these little moments like this. There is a fan courtside, a woman who's drinking a glass of red wine. Respect to her for that. Always love that wine on the courtside seats. And she's telling Draymond to calm down, Draymond. It's okay. Don't get it technical. Don't get tossed. So
That worked?
I don't think it mattered. I do not think Draymond cared about that woman drinking that glass of wine. But you know what? This series is done. We've talked about it, guys. I mean, when the Warriors are healthy, they are the best team, and we have not really seen them healthy until the postseason. So not only just the talent, but they've been there before, and they've been waiting for this moment. You go back to the 2019 finals. I mean, how long ago that seems now. Steph is playing like himself. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, they have hit that groove. And this is sort of like the Warriors pre-KD, you know, with Poole and these other guys. So There's no doubt in my mind this series is done. I would love to see the Grizzlies maybe win one more game, push it to a sixth game. But this series is done. Kudos to the Warriors for that. But
the thing about the Ja Morant not being there and the Grizzlies being better, yeah. I think that can be put to bed at this point. Like, this is not a good team without Ja Morant.
We're not saying that. We're just saying that they're better defensively. Correct. Yeah. Yes, you know what I'm saying? But they needed him for that last shot.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of speculation that they could get it done without him, but they just don't look good offensively without him.
Yeah.
35-year-old Al Horford helped cap a 10-0 run with a game-tying dunk on Giannis as the Boston Celtics completed a fourth-quarter comeback that enabled them to beat the Bucks 116-108 and tie the Eastern Conference semifinals at two games apiece. It's now a best of three against arguably the two best teams in the East. Who do you like?
Here's the thing. When I thought the Lakers were a championship team, I thought this is the performance we're going to get by the 35-year-olds on the Lakers. Look at Al Horford coming up for the Boston Celtics late. And I've never seen Horford show that kind of emotion. I mean, he was upset at Giannis and his antics and things like that. This is a fantastic series. We thought it would be. I think we all thought that the team that comes from this series will go on to the NBA Finals. Listen, I don't want the Celtics to win, so I'm not going to put myself in a position to pick the Celtics. I do not want the Celtics to win. I want to enjoy these playoffs, but I still got some like angst that the Celtics may find a way to win one more championship than my Lakers. So I'm not going to root for them. I'm going to pick Milwaukee, but Al Horford. What an amazing moment for him.
Yeah, look, this is an interesting series. This game five is going to be super, super, super important. I think actually Milwaukee's going to win game five.
Okay.
I think that could be the difference. I had Milwaukee in seven in this series. I do think the Celtics defense has been elite all season long. However, in the playoffs, they are fourth in defensive rating. It's I wouldn't say it disappeared, but it hasn't been as elite. The Bucks were 12th in defensive rating in the season.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, without Middleton even, who's a great wing, right?
Yeah.
Best defensive rating by far, 99.4. So that's the makings of a championship team right there. Giannis is the best player in the NBA, putting up 30-plus points every game, 18 rebounds yesterday. That was kind of just an unfortunate situation. Bucks couldn't hit their shots down the stretch. I think they'll fix that. I think the officiating is going to be a bit better in game five. I think the Bucks will win the series in seven.
I don't know what to expect. I just think that Giannis is about to take it up another notch. And with that being said, I'm going to go with you guys and say the Bucks. But I mean, this Celtics team is so complete from top to bottom, and I don't think it's ridiculous if we look back in a month from now and say, wow, those were the two best teams in basketball. Like, it's very possible that we are watching the two best teams in basketball. That's not to take anything away from Golden State or Phoenix. I think it's between those four. Maybe you want to throw the Mavericks in there with the way that they've looked.
Yeah.
But it's really, like, it's down to... I don't want to give it away, but I don't really believe in Philly, Miami, or Memphis. And this is probably at least your Eastern Conference Finals. I think that's safe to say. But I'm going to go with you guys. I'm going to go with the Bucks, and I think it's going to be a seven-game series as well.
Yeah, I agree.
We have two big Game 5s tonight in series that are tied two games apiece. The Sixers are in Miami, and the Mavericks are in Phoenix. Miami and Phoenix looked dominating when they took their 2-0 leads, but the past two games have changed things. Have they changed the way that you view either series, and what are your picks for tonight and for the series?
I love that these two series are tied at 2-2, because I think when we watched those first two games, I mean, for sure, with the way the Suns blew out the Mavericks and they had won 11 straight games, I thought that series was over, could be a sweep. When the Heat won their first two games, I'm like, maybe Joel's return may change things, I'm not sure. Both of them are tied 2-2. The momentum has shifted, but now we're going back. Going back to Miami, going back to Phoenix. I still like the Heat. I still like the Suns. But I like the fact that we have a series here. We have 3-2-2 series, 1-3-1 series. But I like the Suns. I think that they've been the best team in the league this entire year. That being said, I think we all agree now that the Warriors are the Warriors, they're probably the best. I do like the Suns to win tonight. I like the Heat to win tonight. So, yes, not only do I like those two teams to win tonight, I like them to win both of those series. Hopefully, we get two game sevens. But, those were two series I thought maybe we might get a sweep. Good three-game series right now.
Yeah, I think both of these series are probably going to go seven games. Yeah. I think that's likely. The Dallas series, I'll start with. I said this yesterday. I mean, Dorian Finney-Smith is not going to make eight threes again from the floor. But like we said last week, Brunson and Dinwiddie, they're going to play better. Brunson's played better. The shooters are playing better. The defense, top 10 in defensive rating during the year. And Luka Doncic, we talk about his offense. His defense has actually gotten better. I know he's still kind of a liability. He's the best player in this series. I said this yesterday. I do think the Mavericks will steal one in Phoenix tonight. I'm going to be the only person who probably says that in the world, considering Phoenix has an incredible, impeccable record at home. But Doncic is the best. He kind of gives me these vibes like a young LeBron James. Like eventually he's going to, when he gets the right pieces, I don't know if it's this team, but if he gets the right pieces around him, he could cruise to the finals almost every single year. He has that generational talent on him. In the Heat, they're going to win tonight. I truly believe that. Yeah.
I completely agree with that Luka point. I think that definitely he has that historic game in him. I don't know if it's going to be tonight, but you know what? Why can't it be tonight with the Mavericks? That series is such a toss-up. In regards to the Philly-Miami series, this is going to sound a little bit weird considering how well Harden played. I didn't like the fact that they won it strictly because of Harden's fourth quarter, because I think it's going to inflate his ego and make him think that he's still Houston Harden. I think Philly wants to win this series, it's got to be behind, obviously, Embiid, but more Maxey and Tobias Harris. And now I'm kind of worried that Harden's just going to be chucking up garbage all night. And that's why I'm skeptical, but I still like Philadelphia. I think that they're a more talented team.
Yeah.
The NFL announced that the reigning Super Bowl champion LA Rams will host the Denver Broncos on Christmas Day. It will be the second game of a Christmas triple header. The Lakers and or Clippers are also expected to play that day at Crypto.com Arena. What are your thoughts on the NFL trying to take over the NBA signature day of Christmas?
I know. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, we are always so used to a game, whether it's the Lakers or whether it's the Clippers or whether it's those two teams going head-to-head Christmas Day. And listen, as bad as the Lakers have been, as long as LeBron James is still on that team will be playing a game at Crypto on Christmas Day. So we got two big games. We got the Rams playing at SoFi Christmas Day, and then we got the Lakers playing either the Clippers or some other team Christmas Day. Listen, it's the National Football League. They are the kings. They're saying, listen, the NBA, we know you have that day, on this particular Christmas Day, we're going to take over, and God bless the NBA, but the NFL is king, so they're going to do triple the numbers. And I'm going to see if I can go to both. Again, the Rams-Broncos game at SoFi is a 1:30 kickoff. The tip-off at Crypto will probably be a 5 p.m. tip, usually. So, listen, there's always so much to do in Los Angeles, but it's the National Football League. They're going to try to take over Thanksgiving, Christmas, you name it.
Yeah, yeah. This will be a huge day for sports. Probably the best all year. One of them, at least. Rams-Broncos. That's so cool. Now that Wilson's traded to Denver, similar to kind of Stafford being traded. I know Wilson won a Super Bowl, and you know Stafford was in Detroit. Completely different situations, but that'll be a fun game. Broncos might be the best team in that division. We don't know with the Chargers.
That's a heck of a division. You got the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Broncos.
Crazy.
And the Raiders.
Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs might be the worst team. Let's take a hot take. Maybe not, because they still have an all-time great Mahomes. But yeah, that'll be a great day. The Lakers are definitely going to play. I think the Lakers will have a better record on Christmas Day than they did this last year.
Yeah.
You know, the NFL had two games this past season on Christmas. I think that they can try, but I really think that Christmas is still the NBA's day, and it will be. But I mean, the NBA product right now in the postseason, it's very interesting because you have so many people complaining about the refereeing, the constant going and checking, is that a flagrant foul? Is this a flagrant foul? They have to be really careful with the way that they go forward as a league, because they are losing those casual fans. And if they lose those casual fans, those are the fans that are going to tune in and watch the Rams against the Broncos instead of whatever the NBA game at the same time would be. So they have to be careful. But I still think NBA Christmas is a special thing, and people will tune in over the NFL.
No doubt about it. I 100% agree, and I have to, again, I have to figure out a way to get to both games at the same time.
Through the first 30 or so games of the baseball season, the Dodgers and the Angels have two of the best records in the league. Which do you think is a better team, and could we actually maybe see a freeway series in the World Series this season?
I hope so. I've been dreaming for this moment for Brandon's Angels to catch up with the Dodgers, because here's the thing. Yeah. They have two of the best players. I mean, when you talk about, and I've told all my friends, go to the Union Station, get on that Pacific Surfliner. If you don't want to deal with traffic, they are worth the price of admission to see Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout and Brandon. As you know, they went back-to-back home runs last night. Yep. What an amazing moment that was. There was a sign out there behind home plate. A fan came from Paris, France to come see those two guys play. So what an amazing moment it is in Los Angeles. We just touched on it for sports here. So the Dodgers, we know what they are. They will finish with 100-plus wins this season. They are the best team in the National League. I think that they will be a World Series team. It would be such an amazing moment for Los Angeles, the freeway series that we've never had. The Dodgers and the Angels, Brandon, can it finally happen?
I think it's possible, although it's, you know, growing up an Angel fan, I don't believe it till I see it.
Yeah.
They do have one of the best lineups in the league with Trout, Ohtani, and Ohtani and Rendon also weren't hitting, really. They were both hitting under 250 until 2 days ago, you know, when they had the walk-off comeback against Washington, and then yesterday, they, Ohtani specifically, two-home run game, kind of went back into the flow, and he's pitching great. He's in the conversation for the American League Cy Young, not MVP right now, but Taylor Ward, I think his rise to stardom has been so funny, because I mentioned this to you, Raj. He had a fifth round grade out of Fresno State from everybody, and he was drafted in the first round as a defensive catcher. Wow. And now he's an offensive outfielder. And you know, he had a friend that introduced him to sabermetrics, and that's kind of where he got his rise to his perfecting his swing. Michael Lorenzen, one of the Angels pitchers, said, you know, Ward has the best approach in the MLB, which is a great compliment. He was hurt yesterday. That was the first time yesterday against the Rays where they steamrolled them, and I said, this could be a legitimate team. Dodgers have a much better shot getting to the World Series, though. The Angels pitching is still very, very primitive in comparison to the other teams that will compete for the titles. Yeah. I like the Yankees more, the Blue Jays. Angels are similar to the Mets. At some point, they might choke. I hate to say it. I won't believe it till I see it.
I just want to see that, you know, because you got the Chicago White Sox win a World Series. You got the Chicago Cubs win a World Series. I want Los Angeles to have that. Give me a freeway series.
There is something electric, though, going on in Anaheim. Last night, Shohei hits the home run. Trout puts on the cowboy hat, sombrero hat on his head. I mean, there is something special.
That's right.
And as a Cubs fan, Joe Maddon changes the whole culture of a baseball team, and he's doing it again in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
So Tom Brady reportedly will join Fox Sports as its lead NFL analyst when his playing career ends. He has reportedly agreed to a contract that will pay him about $20 to $25 million per year over 10 years. First of all, he was known for taking pay cuts, and now apparently no more pay cuts. He's the GOAT broadcaster. Or he's the GOAT, but it's a broadcaster worth $250 million.
Listen, no, I do not think so. That being said, if you can make that, but by all means. By the way, the press release that they came out said he's going to be more than a broadcaster. He's going to be with our clients. He's going to be this, that, and the other. By the way, for $25 million, I'll shake as many hands as you want. By the way, this is extremely smart. When I saw the money Tony Romo was making, Troy Aikman making $20 million a year, yeah, listen, we don't know how good Tom will be in the booth. That's, like, I think, a big point. Joe Montana, you guys don't remember this. You're younger. Joe Montana tried this, and he was terrible in the booth. He was, I mean, he had no opinions. He was horrible. Tom Brady, I get the sense on social media, he gets it. But man, I mean, if you can transition from a career, and I think he's probably going to get paid more as a broadcaster, $25 million a year. Listen, do I think a broadcaster needs to make $25 million a year? No. If the Cowboys are playing the Rams on Sunday, I am watching regardless who's on the call. But if they're giving out that kind of money, sign me up.
Yeah, I mean, look, Tom Brady's the all-American guy, the poster boy. People want to see him. He sells. Everything he does turns to gold, right? This is a brilliant signing by Fox. I think it might be, look, does anybody deserve it? But if you're saying Troy Aikman's making $20 million, this is a discount.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know how good. Tom Brady could become amazing in the booth. Will he be? I mean, who knows? Good at everything, probably. But look, this is a guy that is going to represent a network and it's going to make them a lot of money. This is a brilliant deal for both sides, and I think Brady will be very good, and he'll continue to be the poster boy, exactly. Most popular NFL player arguably ever, right?
That's right.
And he'll continue to be a face in sports media, in the NFL, meeting with clients. I think this is a great decision.
Yeah.
It seemed like Tom Brady was very rigid and held back for a little bit of his career, but lately, I mean, he's on TikTok now. He's, you know, very candid on Twitter. He had a TikTok the other day that basically he admitted that the Tuck Rule game might have been like, yeah, a little bit, you know, exaggerated there with that call. But I just think that it is a ridiculous amount to pay. But this guy seems like a guy that, again, I agree with what you said, Brandon, with the All-American aspect, that he's going to be relatable to any viewer that's watching at home. I really think that this is a great hire. I wonder if this means that more Hall of Fame level quarterbacks are just going to look at the end of their career and be like, you know what, maybe I should hang it up now because I got $15 million coming from CBS if I hang it up a little early. Like Russell Wilson in 4 or 5 years is like, you know what, I'm good.
Yeah, I 100% think so, because I think Tony Romo was the first one where they were having that conversation with him and they said, Tony, this job may not be here a year from now. If you take it now, you're putting yourself you're gonna make $20 million per year, and that price range changes things. It's crazy. All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, speaking of goats, we will be joined by Matt Leinart, USC Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, national championship quarterback. When we come back, right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California and the Fan here in Las Vegas.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown with the underground.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California and 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas. We are now joined by my old college friend, USC legend, Heisman Trophy winner, national champion, Matt Leinart. Matt, how are you?
Arash, what's up, my guy? You said old, man.
No.
I'm turning 39 this week, dude.
You're so, in your 30s still.
Very old.
No, well, listen, you are in your 30s. You are still young, and here's why. You are part of something that you need to explain to us. Well, when I say us, me as like an older gentleman, this new crazy world of college sports. Right now, it's college football. Matt, let's just start there. I mean, I just saw a UT player signed an endorsement deal with a Lamborghini dealership. I mean, I'm trying to think about back when we were in school, the kind of stuff you and Reggie would have done in Los Angeles as the – because, again, we did not have the NFL. People have to remember where you guys were. USC, back when you guys were at your pinnacle, the Lakers had just traded away Shaq. They weren't a playoff team. The Dodgers were not a playoff team. We had no pro football. I mean, you guys were the thing in town. What are you thinking as you're watching these stories, these kids signing multi-million dollar deals?
It's wild, and it just makes me think, gosh, I played in the wrong decade, that's for sure. But I mean, listen, I think it's been a long time coming. I've been an advocate for players monetizing their name, image, and likeness for a long time. Obviously, you know, people all over the country and media, every industry have always been saying, well, kids should be able to make money. Kids should be able to make money. And now that it's here, it definitely has become a little bit of the wild, wild west because it is so new. And obviously policies are different amongst every state, school, legislation is different. Rules are different. So, you know, we're kind of finding right now, as this just became legal, essentially, a little bit of an arms race to try and sign all these players, and you know, the schools that have a lot of money can do those things. So, you know, I would say this, you know, some of these deals are crazy. I'm looking at it, I'm like, holy crap, like these kids are making a fortune. They don't even ever have to play football again and they'll be fine. But I do think there will be regulation. I think the market will correct itself after a couple of years here. You know, I wouldn't get all up in arms like a lot of people are doing. I think it'll take care of itself. But yeah, it's wild, man. I mean, it really is wild. And, you know, it does concern me a little bit that now, you know, a lot of these kids who have no real financial education, you know, are getting thrown a lot of money at them. So I think a lot will change over the next couple of years, and there'll be a lot more positive things coming out. But right now, it's crazy, man. Like every day you hear a new story.
Matt, how we became friends at USC is one of my favorite Trojans. The most sure-handed Trojan I ever met, Gray Carlson. I got to meet him back in the day at TAF when he won a CIF title. You are now teaming up with Greg, and it was really cool to see you and Caleb Williams, because Caleb is like, yep. I think everyone's so excited about what he can do. Tell me about the Hall of Goats and what that is.
Yeah, so Hall of Goats is an NFT platform where these amateur athletes, both college and high school, can you know, monetize their name, image, and likeness. It's a digital, they can create a digital brand, and we want to be the platform that can help service that. You know, I think, you know, it's a very interesting and very fast growing kind of industry. And the best way that I could describe it is you know, Rosh, you and I and you know, older generation, not in our age, but even older guys, you know, you collect physical trading cards, right? Yeah. You collectibles and all those types of things. So an NFT essentially is the same thing, but it's a digital trading card or a digital asset. In our case, for Hall of Goats, we're creating avatars for these players that can grow and kind of and build over time as these players hit milestones, et cetera, throughout their career on and off the field. So we really want to be at one platform where these amateur athletes can come and they can engage in their community. They can help grow their community. They can build a digital brand that you know, the hope is that will last a lot longer than their playing careers in whatever sport it is. This isn't just football. This is men's sports, women's sports, you name it. We want to be that platform for all of these student athletes to build their digital brand and for them to be able to tell their story and engage in their community. Because a big part of the NFT community, whether it's sports or not, is access, yeah, and utility and all those things around it. That's how you see a lot of these NFT projects that are successful. They have great communities behind them. And I mean, there's nothing better than sports fans and sports communities. So, we're trying to tell that story, obviously with Caleb, who, has just been, you know, just a great partner and been fun to, you know, get to know him and get to know his goals on and off the field. You know what I mean? Like he's done a really good job, you know, kind of navigating this NIL space, him and his team. And, you know, we felt like it was just a great opportunity, to do that. And he really, you know, he wants to help student athletes, and not just football. You know, we want to be a national platform for all student athletes and give them an opportunity to grow their brands and make money doing it.
Matt, you are still involved with the program. I remember when Lincoln Riley had his press conference, you were there. The program has changed night and day. When you talk about that last game at the Coliseum of the season, half empty, and it was so depressing to see the Coliseum half empty. Now you got Lincoln Riley and you got Caleb Williams because of the transfer portal. I mean, they are one of the top five, top 10 teams.
Right.
Where, I mean, listen, we hope that they can win the national championship. The championship game will be at SoFi. Talk about the state of the program. And again, you've met Lincoln, you've met Caleb. Your thoughts on this team?
Yeah, well, first of all, I love Lincoln. I love the staff. I you know, we, being at Fox, we had a chance to cover Oklahoma a bunch. So I've gotten to know Coach over the years. And the staff that he assembled is very, very good. And they're tough. They're intense. They recruit their butts off. It's a really, really good staff, which makes, you know, me happy just as an alumni, but it should make USC fans, alumni, happy because they're doing it the right way. Lincoln is an incredible coach. He gets it. He understands. And so far, he's done a great job of really building this thing. Because, I mean, look, he took over a team that you know, there wasn't a lot of meat on that bone. There's been somewhat of a loose around this program now for years. So, yeah. You know, he has and continues to have a lot of work to do. But the program is headed in the right direction. And then you talk about Caleb and you talk about, you know, obviously, last year, you look at Mel Tucker, Michigan State, and even Chip at UCLA. A lot of these teams built a team and had success through the transfer portal because that's the era we're in college football is these kids can move around. So when you inherit a team that has a lot of holes, you go and you try to build need and you try to build through the portal and get good football players who have a lot of experience, and that's how you can kind of build. And he's done that. And, you know, they'll continue to do that throughout the summer and help build this team. And, look, they're going to be very competitive. Obviously, Caleb is a really, really talented football player. They have some transfers that have come in. They have some players that were on the team that are ready to kind of step up. So, I think Arash, like, the question, like, you know, are they going to make a playoff? I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, expectations are high. But I'll tell you what, they are going to be far more competitive than they've been in a long time. They're going to play a lot harder than they've played in a long time. And they're going to be a real player in the Pac-12 this year. I firmly believe that.
Matt, we've all heard about the Trojan family, but describe that. You know, when someone like Caleb takes over the team and he's the quarterback, you know, like, is there a group chat, for lack of a better term, like you and Carson and Mark Sanchez and things like that?
You know what? I mean, we all are very close. And it's the thing about USC, and again, you can kind of talk about some of the blue bloods and some of the, you know, the tradition-rich programs throughout college football, but especially with quarterbacks, I mean, you look at USC and you look at the history and the lineage, and you go back, you know, all the way back to Pat Hayden, Paul McDonald, Rodney, Carson. You know, obviously, you know, I was able to play and follow Carson. Then after myself, you had Sanchez and all of these, Matt Barber, all of these guys. There's just been a lot of great players play that position, but a lot of great players to play football at USC. And I spoke to the team last month during spring practice, and I just said, listen, like this is USC. I don't care the record. You're talking about some of the greatest football players to ever play the game, you know, wore that jersey and want you to be successful and want you to go out there and carry on the mission. It is a family. You know, they do say once a Trojan, always a you know, the alumni, the sports football alumni, it's a very close group, and we always want our players to success and to be the best that they can be. Because, listen, it's, you know, hey, you get to wear that uniform, and then, like I said, you think about the players that wore that uniform, and you think about the history in the LA, you know, in the Coliseum, and all of those things, man. So it is really special, and I'm just excited that USC, you know, there's a joy and excitement around the program that there hasn't been in a long time. And I think that's what I'm just most excited about, is the fans deserve that. And, you know, they're going to get that, and they're going to get that this fall.
Yeah. Hi, Matt. Brandon Deutsch here, another USC alum. I wanted to ask you more about the football side of things for this upcoming year. Like Arash mentioned, this could be a top five, top 10 team, depending on, you know, where Jordan Addison goes and stuff like that. That'd be a huge addition for the offense. A lot of people have said that this could be similar to Oklahoma football situation, like 50 points per game, 60 points per game, like something crazy like that. There's been questions about how Corey Foreman will play next year in the defense and how that scheme will work. The Pac-12, they should be able to at least not cruise, because Utah's good and, you know, Oregon will be pretty good, but they should be able to win the Pac-12. But there's been questions about their outlook as a national champion because of their defense. We know Caleb's going to be good, and the transfer porters helped them a lot. Do you think that the defense will step up and this will be a 10, 11, you know, maybe even 12, probably not 12, it never happens, but you know what I mean, win team? Or is this team going to have to rely on offense, or do you think this defense will get better by August, September?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's a very fair question. I mean, you look at the offense, and clearly with Lincoln and Caleb and some of the players they have, I mean, you know, it has a chance to be a very good offense, and that's what Lincoln's known for. So, you know, they're going to score 30, 40 points a game at the minimum, especially in the Pac-12. But yeah, when you look at the defense, I mean, look, Corey Foreman and you know, I talked to people around the program. He, you know, I think the thing that was missing and what people need to understand is, you know, you can recruit 5 stars, 4 stars, 3 stars. It doesn't matter. If you're not developing the players, then that's what you're going to see on the field. And that was the problem with previous staffs. Like, I just don't think there was a development part of this thing. And you saw that. It was the same stuff, the same kind of product on the field every single week. And, you know, kids play hard, and obviously they want to do well, but it's up to the coaches to put these kids in a position to be successful. It's up to the coaches to use Corey Foreman in a way where he's going to maximize his potential. You know, and when what that is, that's up to Alex Grinch and their staff to figure that out. You know, I mentioned Alex Grinch. He's a really good football coach at DC. And the thing I love about him is, man, is he's aggressive. He's got energy. And he's a developer, and he understands how to talk to the players. And, you know, is it going to happen overnight? Probably not, because I said, you know, there's a lot of holes there, and there's a lot of holes on both sides of the field. You know, this is a team that they need to continue to build, and they need to fill those gaps and need to add bodies, and they need to get more kids through the portal, so that they can go out and have some depth, this fall. Like I don't think people should expect we go out there in this defense being one of the best teams in the country, but I'll tell you what, they're going to play hard. They're going to get turnovers. And we're going to see some of the players that have been on this team really start to develop. I really believe that. But yeah, I mean, mentioned the Pac-12. I mean, look, Utah's a really good team. I think UCLA is going to be very good this year. There's good football teams in this conference, but I think USC has as good a shot as anybody in this conference to win their division and play for a Pac-12 championship. I really believe that. If they can stay healthy, which is true for every team, but given the numbers and the bodies that they have, if they can stay relatively healthy, they'll have a good opportunity.
Matt, thank you again for joining us. Armand here. When we think about your playing time with Reggie, the Coliseum was so electric. What is your expectation for the Coliseum going into this season? Do you expect it to be electric going into it right away? Do you think that the team is going to have to earn that right from the fan base? What do you think the Coliseum is going to be like this season?
Yeah, I think it's going to be packed. I mean, obviously, you know, with people always laugh, you know, with you know, LA fans and all the sports teams, like Arash had mentioned earlier, like, you know, winning kind of cures everything. It was the same thing with Pete when I was there our first year. We were 6-6. We get 30,000 people. Yeah. And by the way, that was when the Coliseum sat 92,000. You know, obviously there's, I think it's in the 70s now, so they've obviously decreased the seat capacity. But I'll just say this, like, I just know, that I've talked to people, that the buzz and the excitement is real. And I can't imagine the Coliseum not being packed and not being loud that first home game. I really, really believe that. And if they can win and they can start kind of, you know, getting this fan base engaged and excited, that's what makes the Coliseum so special. And that's what makes Planet USC special, is they've just been waiting. You know, these fans have been waiting for a long time to go to games and see what USC football should be. And again, I do think it's not going to happen overnight, but there's no doubt that the Coliseum is going to be rocking. People are excited, you know, and it's going to be fun to see. Because, look, at the end of the day, when USC football is good, college football is better for it as well, you know. And when Miami is good, college football is better for it as well. So it'll be a fun season for USC.
Matt, I have some good news for you. So you missed out on the endorsement deals when you were in college, but let me just give you this report from the New York Post. Tom Brady's deal with Fox Sports, your new teammate, 10 years, $375 million, making more with Fox Sports than he made during his career. Matt, you know Tom. What do you think he's going to be like? I think it's fascinating. Like, he knows the money Tony Romo's making and Troy Aikman's making, and now he's like, okay, like, listen, just watching Tom with his social media, like, I think he's going to be fantastic in the booth. Your thoughts on your brand new teammate, Tom Brady?
Well, first of all, I know. I mean, gosh, I mean, I think I just tweeted, like, the goat is just doing goat things, getting a $400 million contract. But, yeah, I mean, listen, Tom, I had, you know, I've known used to train with Tom a little bit back in the day. And obviously, I mean, I'm just, you know, always have been a massive fan, clearly, and just admired him and who he is and his work ethic. And you know, he's the best, you know. And but getting to know him on a personal level back then, it was just awesome, you know. And I'm happy that he's a part of the team, and I think he'll be fantastic. He is who he is. I think, you know, obviously there's always a transition from, you know, people always say, well, how are they going to be in the booth and this and that? And, you know, it'll be new for him because it's a different skill set, I guess is the right word. But, I mean, Tom is Tom, and he's seen more and done more in football than anybody that's ever played the game. And, I'm sure the stories and the insight and just that will be, you know, people will be glued to the television. So obviously, you know, Fox is family here, and I'm so happy that he's a part of our family. And and also, you know, got to plug our Big Noon Kickoff.
That's
show.
Right.
You know, we got Michigan games, so it'd be nice to get him on the set.
That's
with
right.
Us too, you know, so get him to come out to Michigan, Ohio State, you know, and go pump up the Wolverines. But man, no, we're fired up to have when he's ready to retire. Yeah. Who knows when that's going to be. It'll be a lot of fun to get to work with them and team around, that's for sure.
You're with our last 90 seconds with you, Matt. You will have to go through the college recruiting process one more time with Cole, and Cole is already like as tall as you. It is so cool to see him now go through this whole thing. What is it now to experience that with Cole?
Wild, man. It's really wild. He got his first couple offers last week or a couple weeks ago in football, and you know, he'll be a freshman at Mater Dei this fall. And it's been really, it's different, you know, it's very different. But I'm just proud of the way he works. He's got a great head on his shoulders. He loves football, loves basketball. You know, just really all he cares about is just working out and trying to get better. And so it's nice. It's nice to kind of just sit back and watch and help him and kind of help navigate through all of the, you know, all of the stuff that's going to come his way over the next couple of years with NIL and just playing at Mater Dei and the expectations there and all of that stuff. But he's ready, and you know, we're excited to kind of just watch his journey, man. It's really fun. But again, it does make me feel old. It's like, holy crap, man! My kid's in high school almost, and already, you know, getting this type of exposure. It's pretty funny.
Awesome. Matt, thank you so much. You're the best. Let's do this again soon. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.